Well, I guess it's called the cello.
Uh-huh.
And one of our bosses has a son who plays the cello.
Yep. And guess what? You're fired.
Yeah.
That'll be all, Cap.
Kind of a parent lets their kid play the cello. I'll take that oversized guitar thing right there.
That'd be your boss.
It's the White Sox and the Tigers for opening day right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. We'll have Carmen Yurko at Cork and Carey at the park at 12 o'clock. And then the White Sox and Tigers 2:30 pregame right here on ESPN 1000.
And we'll be there.
As we go to the CarX hotline.
That's right. We're going to talk to the general manager of the Chicago White Sox, Chris Getz.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Morning, guys. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We are awesome. It's opening day.
Yeah, that's why we're doing
yes,
awesome. What are your memories of opening day, Chris?
Man, I had a couple Chicago opening days, both, you know, with the White Sox as a player and then as an opponent. I remember, you know, having these you know, good spring trainings, it's nice and warm in Arizona, and you're feeling good, your body's moving a certain way, and then you show up and it's like 25 degrees, it's sleeting, you can't, you know, you've got all these layers on and you can't move. So I've got some of those memories, but man, it's generally really positive. I would say, I mean, it's just a kickoff to a season. You're full of optimism. Stadiums are full. There's excitement, all these like unknowns. I've got good memories. I've got cold memories, but generally a lot of good feelings going into opening days.
So when you sit down and you look at what you've got, and, you know, it's a new administration, you've really added to the front office. You've also been realistic, which I think from our position as not only journalists, but fans, we appreciate transparency and being real. And you've said that. We've got a ways to go. As you look at the process through one spring training, where are you as you start to build your version of what the Sox should be?
Sure. I mean, I will say, I mean, spring training, it was, I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun. Not that fans care about my enjoyment for spring training, but, you know, we've got, like you said, new additions to the front office, additions to the coaching staff, employees throughout the organization. We've made changes to the roster. You put all this work in, and then to finally have it centralized in one place and bring it to life and set the direction. It was very rewarding, and now, you know, we get tested with game one today. But with this team, right? There's a lot of interesting players, and I say that, and players, they all have their own stories. I get that, but we've got a long list of guys that have a lot, you know, at stake in their careers coming into this year. And you look at Garrett Crochet, who's getting the opening day nod, and his story and what he's capable of doing, and getting the chance to kick it off today. And then, you know, you've got Soroka, one of the best pitchers in the game years ago in the National League. He's got his injuries. He's got his sinker back. He's had a really good spring training. You know, what are the outcomes on him this year? Like, what can he? How productive can he be? And it's very encouraging. Then you got Eric Fetty, who was over in the KBO, wins the MVP, made some changes to his arsenal, and had it play out there. And then he comes back here. How is this going to translate to the major leagues? And you know, point being, you know, you've got these stories throughout our roster that, I don't know, it's very intriguing, whether it be a fan or someone like myself in this role, to tune in and watch and see how this plays out, quite honestly.
Chris Getz, the general manager of the Chicago White Sox on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. Chris, we have not spoken since you were able to take over the reins as the general manager. How surprised were you that you were chosen to lead the next generation of the White Sox?
For one, it's like an honor. Obviously, it's a big responsibility, to get a chance to lead, an organization like this that I'm connected to. I mean, I was drafted twice by the organization, came up in the minor leagues, got to the big leagues, Midwest kid, like in leading a Chicago team. Like it's a really cool thing. surprised. You know, it's one of those things when went from player to front office. I can't say that I was, you know, so determined to be a general manager. It's just, you know, it's something that you know, I just enjoy the collaborative nature of this side of things and bringing departments together and putting a team together. And now to get the chance to do that, bring it to life on opening day, I feel very fortunate to be able to get this opportunity. But yeah, I mean, there's no time for surprise. You just get to work, right? And certainly, you know, very passionate about this. I love the people that we have, the direction we're headed. And, you know, Derek Crochet kicking it off today. So I'm really excited to get this rolling.
Any irony that you're from, I believe, Grosse Pointe, Michigan. You were Mr. Michigan Baseball Player of the Year. You went to Wake Forest, back to Michigan. Obviously grew up a Tigers fan in your first full season. Here you are making your debut. I know you took over end of August, but your first full season, you're playing the team you cheered for as a kid. Any irony there?
Yeah, it's kind of wild. I mean, you guys asked about opening day memories. I remember, we had school, right? And I had some friends that had tickets, and my parents would allow me to skip school that day to go down to Old Tiger Stadium and, experience opening day with the Tigers. It's kind of wild, right? To be in this position with the White Sox, and now we're playing the Tigers. As a player, I remember having some opening days in Detroit as well. There's always something unique and special about it just because of my history just growing up there. When I was young, did I like the Tigers? Sure. Do I like the Tigers now? Not really. I look forward to playing them, and hopefully we have a successful series and get rolling into the season.
Chris, you mentioned at the beginning of spring training, you said, yeah, I just don't like the team. You didn't like the dynamic of the team, and you thought that there was a need for change. How would you define this era of White Sox baseball right now as we get ready for opening day?
Yeah, I mean, reflecting back on where the team was and where we are now and the characters and the chemistry, I do feel like we're in a much better place. I just seeing it kind of come together in spring training. Obviously, the true test is when you get into the season and you're really hit with some adversity or handling success, whatever it is. It's a good group. I mean, I think some guys have really stepped up and taken on, you know, certain roles. But every team has its personalities and character to it as a group. And time will tell. I mean, I do think it is much different. They do enjoy being around each other. They're going to feed off of each other. I think it's going to pay off. It's tough to really be tangible on how valuable that is. But anyone that's been around the sports knows that teams benefit if they really, you know, have this cohesiveness and motivation within their unit. So it's going to pay off. I don't know how and when. But it's a group that really enjoys competing with each other.
What's harder, turning around a baseball team or winning Amazing Race? Because your wife, Nikki, and my friend, my old partner, David DeJesus' his wife, Kim, they did Amazing Race together.
Well, I give Kim and Nikki kind of a hard time because I claim that they got sixth place. They claim that they got fifth place. So if we ask them that question, what's more difficult? I'm guessing they're going to say winning the Amazing Race. But both have their challenges without question. But what's in front of us right now is turning around this ball club and going out there and competing today.
Chris Getz, general manager for the Chicago White Sox on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000, 2:30 for the pregame for the White Sox and Tigers this afternoon. As you evaluate the ball club, Chris, play the old game, match game. Gene Rayburn with the long stick mic would ask a question like this. The Sox season will be a success if blank.
Gosh, I think about just the style, the play, the cleanliness, intense that we're bringing on a daily basis. Everyone wants to say, how many wins are we going to have? How many losses? All that. I'm not going to play that game because there's always a wide range of outcomes. All I can say is, you break down this roster, You know, you talk about a Ben Attendi, an Eloy Jimenez, a Louis Robert, Yoan Moncada, and Andrew Vaughn, and some of those starters we've talked about in this bullpen that is really interesting to see how it will play out now. The Kopech settling in as he's transitioning from being a starter. We got Jordan Leisure, a guy that we got in a trade at the deadline last year. Wilson that we got in the C deal. Really interesting pieces. Obviously, it's got to come together. I think it's a fun group. I think that, they've got these unique attributes and an ability to be, impactful at the major league level. It's got to come together. But I successful season is, whether it be Pedro, myself, it's getting the most out of this group. Plain and simple.
So pretty much
create an environment for a lot and allow that to happen.
So pretty much what you're looking for is an improvement from last year. Like if the Sox season could be a success if you improve on last year. And those things that you just mentioned, you want to see
Absolutely. Something
positive from that ball club. So that way you're moving forward in the right direction. That's what you're saying?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. I think when you're watching this team throughout the season, I think we'll all get a pretty good idea that we're heading in the right direction.
When you went to Jerry after you're going to take this job and, all right, we're going to rebuild this team and I don't like what I've been seeing here, so we're going to do this and do that. But for me, as a baseball fan, watching what you did, you went to other organizations and said, I want this guy, Barfield. I want that guy. I want to upgrade our front office. Was that something that was always at the top of mind for you? Jerry bought in and said, okay, spend what you got to spend to go get good guys. How did that whole thing unfold?
Yeah, I mean, I think, certainly didn't know if I was ever going to become a general manager, but once you kind of get in this front office track, let's call it, all right, if I ever get into this position, who are some people that you feel like can be really impactful? Who are you going to want to surround yourself with? Obviously, there needs to be a level of baseball acumen, high character, loyalty to the cause, all those types of things. And, whoever has these attributes, all right, well, those are the guys I want to go into to business with, go to figure this challenge out. And Josh was a guy that, we were both running player development departments. We had similar backgrounds from player to we did some scouting to player development, get the exposure within the front office. And along the way, I always enjoyed conversations with him. I admired the work. And you look at, most recently in the turnaround that the Diamondbacks had in kind of the shorter window in their style of play. It's like, man, that we could use some of that, right? And so to be able to get Josh in the door, Brian Bannister, who was with the Boston Red Sox and helped win a World Series over there and get, the San Francisco Giants back on track, to add him to our group, he's a guy that's got a blueprint, to get his pitching acumen and his leadership to help with Ethan and Matt Zaleski in the minor leagues and help the acquisition process. Just get these diverse thinkers, good personalities about the right stuff in the building together, working towards one goal is really exciting. And it felt like it was very important. Jerry was on board, very fortunate to be able to convert and bring them in. And now, I feel like we're working towards something special.
Cap, on the old night show, every other month I'd call Chris Getz. If I was not happy with the ball club, things were going up and down, I would call Chris and I'd call him and say, hey, what's going on in the minor league system? Because he could be more optimistic about what's to come for the Sox. So, Chris, tell us about some of the faces that we may see this year from the farm system that you like.
Yeah, I mean, Colton Montgomery is a guy that certainly gets a lot of attention, and as he should. He's a guy that, moves fairly swiftly throughout our minor leagues. I mean, last year he got a later start because of he was nicked up a little bit, did well at Double-A, and, finished in the fall league. He's going to be starting to see his in at Charlotte, very mature at bat. You like the motor that he provides, left-handed, up-the-middle talent. He's a guy that we predict to be a pretty impactful major league player and not too far off. We got Brian Ramos, a third base prospect that he and Colton have kind of been playing together now for some time. He had a good spring training. He's a really talented guy that's not too far off. We've got Nick Mastrini, a pitcher that we got in a trade from the Dodgers, along with Jordan Leisure. You know, he's a guy that had a really impressive spring training, and a guy that's just knocking on the door for being at the major league level. We got Jonathan Cannon, an arm that really took a step forward this spring training. Multiple pitches, efficient. Another guy that's not too far off. And then, you know, we've got, you know, kind of a mix of other arms, both that could be starters or relievers for us. We've got Edgar Caro, switch hitting catcher that we got from the Angels, who is in tremendous shape. Switch hitter. His catching has really improved along with his throwing, and offensively he's got some real potential. So we've got this nucleus, we've got this group that's working towards the top of the minor league, knocking on the door, that I would not be surprised at some point, you know, early in the season or this summer, joining the Major League club and, you know, helping us along the way.
What's your outlook for the American League Central this year?
You know, it's going to be a fight, as it always is. I know it gets a lot of attention that, you know, in perhaps it's you know, you talk about the AL East or the AL West and, you know, these clubs that are, you know, rated at the top of the American League and all that. At the end of the day, you know, we're in the division that we're in. You know, we're competitive with each other, and it's tough to really predict who the best team is. But all we know is I think it's going to be a fight throughout the year. I don't think anyone's going to run away with anything based on what we see, but, you know, we've got Minnesota, we got Detroit, you know, teams that have continued to kind of build forward. Kansas City's made some moves this offseason that could make them interesting. It's going to be a fun ride.
Hey, man, have a great season. We'll check in with you again from time to time, and I hope things go really well for you, and enjoy this opportunity.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Have a great one.
You too. See you at the ballpark.
Chris Getz, a general manager for the Chicago White Sox, on the hotline.
On the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Tune in.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Our reaction to Chris Getz, and it's opening day in Chicago, both sides of town and all over Major League Baseball. We're talking about it on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show.
Jay Hood are back.
Oh, Cap. Jay Hood, big fan, man.
Bop, 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 bop.
Watch out, fellas.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Cap and I are talking to you about opening day baseball for the Cubs and the White Sox. And don't forget, it'll be Carmen Yurko at Cork and Carey at the park. They'll be there between 12 and 2:30, leading you into White Sox baseball as they take on the Tigers. 2:30 pregame, 3 o'clock first pitch right here on ESPN 1000. Don't forget to check us out on Twitch and on YouTube as well. YouTube.com, ESPN Chicago. Same thing with Twitch. Hit that subscribe button. That way you miss nothing from ESPN Chicago. So we just heard from Chris Getz. One of the things that resonated with me in the conversation, Cap, is that, I mean, I think all of us, as soon as Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn were let go, we're kind of taken aback, like, well, who is going to be the general manager? Mm-hmm. And it was just Jerry Reinsdorf knowing someone in the organization and pulling up Chris Getz from the minor leagues and says, we'll make you the general manager. Just one voice instead of two. We'll have one voice in the organization that will preside over all of this. Even from the answer that Chris gave us, he was surprised that he was able to get this gig.
But it was something he always wanted to do, and he talked about when you get into the management track of things. He was a player, and he had been drafted twice by the White Sox, and he's got an unbelievable opportunity. No one is expecting anything out of this team, and he is clearing the decks. Tim Anderson, see you later. He's gone. Dylan Cease, thanks for coming. Have a good day. He's gone. It's a young team. It's an unknown team. Maybe it won't be a great team this year. Probably not going to be a great team, but he's trying to change the way they do business.
It's just a very difficult situation and scenario for Chris Getz because you're trying to build the minor league system and the major league ball club at the same time. When you are bereft of quality talent on the big league level, and by the way, this is no shot at like Vaughn and Moncada and Aloy and Robert. You know, it's not about that. I'm just talking about the pitching. That's number one, right?
Correct.
You do not have the requisite pitching to be able to compete. You just do not. You cannot go out there for 162 and say, well, we're just going to go with a guy like Fetty. Well, we don't. That's still unproven. It might be fine in the KBO, but we got to see what that looks like in the major league level. When Crochet's like, I'm getting the ball. Yep. Yeah, you're getting the ball. Because look at the landscape. So I just think it's difficult to try to pull both up at the same time. It's going to take time, but here's the thing. Getz will have plenty of time to do it because he got hired, so I expect him to have a 10-plus year run as long as he wants it. You're employed by Jerry Reinsdorf, a loyal man in which you could be in a position for as long as you want it. Once he hires you, you're almost a lifer. Guys that, men and women that we've seen in an organization for over 30 years, you and I, or more.
As long as you're good at your, or you are a, you work hard, you respect the organization, you do things the right way, Jerry's very, very loyal. Very.
Very culture-centric. Even more so than the results. And that's the truth.
But here's my one problem with that.
Fair. Okay.
But I've said this before. Loyalty is a wonderful quality to have.
Yeah.
But you also have to have loyalty to your fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not working, hey, man, appreciate everything. I was loyal to you. I gave you a great opportunity. You worked hard for me. It's not working.
Yes.
I'm moving on because I have a fan base that I have to be loyal to.
Yes.
And I think that gets lost sometimes.
If we're not job one, then we should be 1A. You and me and everyone else as fans.
Correct.
Seriously. Like yes, loyal to your employee. Great. But what about us?
Yes.
Where's my ROI?
Correct. You want me to invest my time, my money, my heart, all of it. You got to have some loyalty back to me, too. It's not just about who shows up to go to work every day.
Yeah. I agree.
So.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. Also, we're talking about the Cubs as well. The Cubs, I believe, will be a playoff team this year. Last year, I didn't believe this, but this year, I believe that they have enough to be able to get to the playoffs. What they do there, we don't know. But at least I feel like they have enough to be able to be at the top of the National League Central. Some reaction to Chris Getz on our phone lines earlier as we go to South Bend, Indiana. Here's Mark on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, Mark.
Cap and Jay, it's an honor to get to chime in with you. Appreciate it.
Happy honor to have
day.
You on, man.
And happy Easter coming up, too. The thing of it is, I've been a White Sox fan since age 8. I was in 1965 taken to my first doubleheader. Jerry Reinsdorf has an axe with the way he treats his fandom. In 1997, as you remember, first year of interleague play when the Cubs were going to play the Sox for the first time, for real, he put a kind of an extortion clause in when anyone walking up and buying a White Sox ticket had to buy a Cub White Sox ticket had to buy tickets to three other games. Mike North even asked him about it at the end of the season. And he says, well, I just didn't want a ballpark full of Cub fans. And he stabbed the back of his actual White Sox fans, such as I and my friends, and I'm sure you too, Hoodie. And he's done other things. He's trying to now extort the city to get a new ballpark from the residents of the city of Chicago, state of Illinois, for a new ballpark that's probably never going to happen. Illinois Sports Authority is probably going to extend the lease after 2029, and they're probably still going to be playing there 30 years. And as long as Reinsdorf owns the team, I want nothing more to do with it. I'm from now on a Detroit Tiger fan.
All right, Mark. Appreciate the telephone call.
He's got that right.
Absolutely.
He does. He's a fan. I'm sure if Jerry's listening, Jerry would say, well, sorry to lose you as a fan, but you've got that right. That's the only way you can make management of these teams understand is if you say, I'm done. I'm not going to pay attention. I'm going somewhere else with my money, whatever it is. That's harder for me, not because I do this job, because my heart gets involved. I can't say the Cubs stink for 107 years. I'm out. I'm getting a new team. And then in 108th year, they win.
Yes.
I was going to, that's my team. I was going to stay loyal to them. And hopefully, before I died, they were going to win. They did. That's just how I roll.
Listen, you know how I feel about the White Sox.
That's your team.
You know how I feel.
Correct.
But with the Cease deal, I got to a breaking point.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? The Sox will be always in my heart, but I'm watching the Padres this year. I'm watching all of Major League Baseball. But I had to be able to make that point, Cap, of saying, hey, man, it's Chicago. Just because you're on the South Side doesn't mean that you're in Indianapolis or you're still in Chicago. You're still in a major market. I don't understand. Even before the issues with television money in Major League Baseball, you had the right to spend. And you had the right to put a good ball club on the field. Before all this TV stuff. So you can lean on that now because it's the truth about what's going on with television and baseball. Where's the money coming from, right? The extra revenue through television. But before that, Cap, how come the White Sox were middling? The idea that my entire life, the guy that's making the most money is Benintendi with the highest contract is ridiculous to me. Benintendi.
Agreed.
Of all the great players that have come through here. And so Benintendi, what is it, $73 million? $75
million? $75
million. $75
million? He didn't make the most money per year. I believe that was Abreu. He made the most money in a free agent contract.
A free agent contract.
Total value.
Yes. That's ridiculous.
Agree.
In today's baseball, that's nonsense.
I agree.
And what I'm saying is that when you look at the team, as a diehard White Sox fan, you have to be able to hold these owners accountable. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, but sometimes it has to be said out loud. You have to hold the teams accountable. If you are someone that goes to the ballpark, you have season tickets, or you have an emotional investment in the team, I want my ROI. This is a bottoming out as if we're Oakland or Kansas City over the years, mm-hmm. and it's still Chicago. This is not a comparison to the Cubs as much as it is looking at your situation on the South Side and saying, you know what? We have to be better as a franchise. As we talked about all the time, we love the amenities around guaranteed rate. When I talk about the White Sox in a negative way, it's not about the people that work there. It's about the ball club and the lack of trying to really seriously compete on a regular basis in a world-class city like Chicago.
Yeah, there are good people, good humans. I mean, I love my friend George who works there. He's one of my dearest friends. Christine O'Reilly's amazing. Brooks, have a great relationship with him. It has nothing to do with that. Jerry's a good person. It's the ball club and the way it's been constructed over the years.
You can't run it like the minors.
Cannot.
When I look at this, it makes me sick.
Gotta evolve, man.
It makes me sick when I look at this and the win total, the over-under is 61.5. You know how bad that is? 61.5? That's their standard? Now, Chris Getz is happy because he's new to the job. Of course he's excited. He doesn't have butterflies. He's got condors in his stomach. Knowing that, hey, I'm the general manager of this White Sox team. I'm running the team. I don't have anyone over my shoulder that's going to second-guess me and third-guess me. Hey, I'm the guy. I don't have a Kenny. I don't have a Rick. It's me. Yeah, but then the first pitch starts. Don't forget about the first pitch and then the games and how it's going to be such an uphill climb for this ball club. I don't care who's managing it. You can't win without talent, period. And so as much as I like some of the guys offensively for the White Sox, don't forget that pitching rotation. Don't forget about that bullpen. You can score 5 runs, and it won't be good enough on this ball club because you don't have the pitching to help you on a regular basis. Because that's what a rebuild looks like. Because that's what they're doing. Even with parts that you like, a Vaughn, a Robert, guys that we mentioned, Benintendi, Cap, you can't do it without pitching.
Agreed.
You just can't. So that's why I drew a line. When they traded Cease, I said, you know what? I'll see you next year. I'll be going to the ball club. I'll be going to the ballpark and watching this team because I love this team. But the way it's being run is not fair to the White Sox fan. It is not. 61 wins last year. 61.5 is the win over under the win total this year. Not good enough. Not even close, Cap. Not even close. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Our White Sox and Cubs predictions.
You got it.
We got the win total ready for both teams?
I'm ready.
All right, we'll do that coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headlines with Cap and J-Hood.
By the way, the 8 a.m. hour was brought to you by the Village of Bolingbrook. Elevate your business, Jonathan, at B. Bolingbrook. Tigers.com. It's opening day, and Chicago White Sox host the Tigers today in a divisional matchup. First pitch scheduled right here on ESPN 1000, your home for the White Sox at 3:10. Garrett Crochet gets the bump against one of the AL Cy Young betting favorites in Tarik Skubal for the Tigers. Cubs play later tonight, opening the season against defending World Series champion Rangers. Justin Steele gets the start for the Cubbies. It'll be Nathan Eovaldi on the mound for Texas. Bulls picked up a win last night, crushed the Pacers, 125-99. Vooch led the way with 22 and 12 boards. DeRozan also had 27 points. Illinois resumes their tournament run tonight in the Sweet 16. They're 1.5-point underdogs to Iowa State. Tip-off set for 9:09 p.m. on TBS. Jay Moore.
Surprise, surprise.
Captain Jay Hood are back.
I appreciate your show. I'm an Uber driver, and from 7 to 10 every day, I've got you locked in.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Greeny at 10, followed by Carmen Yurko from Cork and Carry at the Park at 12 o'clock. White Sox and Tigers at 2:30. Waddle and Sylvie after the game, right into Bleck and Tyler. Tyler, the birthday boy, right here on ESPN 1000.
Hey, happy birthday, Tyler. Way to go, kid.
312-332-3776 is our phone number. So, Cap, your official number for Cubs wins this year is
87. 87 and 75.
I have the Cubs at 85 wins locked in.
There you go.
Good enough to win the division and ahead of the Reds.
Should be close. Should be close.
But you have the Reds second, right?
I have the Cincinnati Reds in second.
Wild card?
No. They do not get to the postseason.
It's just the Cubs in that division.
Correct.
Just running away.
Correct.
And Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, St. Louis.
I have Milwaukee. St. Louis is in
third.
I have Milwaukee in third, St. Louis fourth, Pittsburgh fifth.
Pittsburgh fifth.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that sounds right. St. Louis is going to do a retooling, I would believe. Retooling.
I don't think they're good enough.
Yeah. And for me, I say 85 wins, good enough to get to the division. The White Sox. Any Sox news?
Any Sox news?
I should have asked that.
Yeah, you should have. Hey, Chris, any Sox news?
Any Sox news, Chris?
I am predicting the White Sox will go over their 61.5 win total. And they will win 69 ball games.
I thought you were going to say 62.
Nice.
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 69.
I have them at 67. 67 wins for the White Sox.
There
so over that.
Yes.
And that's because I think you have some offense that could be able to lead you in some games against, you know, bad competition, I think.
The pitching scares me. Starting pitching.
It's pretty horrendous.
It is.
Cap, we can go through it. You ever seen a starting? I mean, again, if you think I'm knocking Crochet, I'm just saying you like experience to get the ball opening day. Experience.
He's making his starting debut on opening day. Scary.
Remember when the Sox opened up New Comiskey?
Yeah. They lost 16-0 to the Tigers,
the
right?
The Tigers, yeah. Yeah.
Wasn't that the score?
Yeah. I was there.
Oh, God. Please don't let that happen today when we're there.
3-1-2.
Line drive, base hit. One run is in. Two runs are off. Third man is going to score. And it's 16-0.
16-0. Here's Connor.
Whoa. Take that, Len. Poor Lenny.
All right, guys. Just jumping in. He's had enough. Downtown Dean on Cap and Jay Hood. Hey, Dean.
Hey, how you doing, Hoodie? Good morning to you guys.
Good morning.
What's up, Dino?
Hey, I was hanging out and watching the Laker game the other night with a buddy of Waddle and Sylvie. His name's Trevor. Mm-hmm. I shout out to that guy. He's even nuttier than I am. Evidently, he was hosting Waddle and Sylvie for the Super Bowl at his house this year. And that guy is he's quite the character. So shout out, Trevor.
All right.
I sent the chosen one, Tyler Aki. I can't send it to Shea Norman because he blocked me on Instagram. Ray Lewis highlight reel. That's all right. It's like 10 plays from Ray Lewis, like 20 plays back-to-back, tackles for loss, open field tackles, all those tackles that they're outlawing next year. I thought that was interesting. And then the last thing I wanted to call, the main reason I called was I was seeing this news about the Big Three. I did not know that it still existed. This, to me, is very akin to when the porn studios offer a B-list celebrity $5 million to do a flick. It's like an invitation. You're throwing out the author there just to get your name with some buzz. So that's what I believe is happening there. You got to wake up pretty early in the morning, Hoodie, to pull a fast one by Downtown Dean. I see what's happening here.
The porn with or without the mustache, Dean?
For me?
Yes.
No, no facial hair for Downtown Dean. Oh. And lastly, enough with the Joe Alt calls. If you want to beef up the O-line, you're going to have to take Braxton Jones to the beef stand with Joey G. Take that!
Wow.
I think he's big enough on the left side.
Right.
Braxton Jones.
He wants he and Joey G to go have Italian beefs at Chickie's.
That's exactly right.
That's it.
Thank you, my friend, for the phone call. Hey, boys.
Good morning. So I don't blame Jerry Reinsdorf for being mad. He paid all them guys. And on these airways, everybody predicted they were going to go to the World Series. The players failed us White Sox fans because that's what they did. They got paid and they spit out seasons like that with Anderson and everything, what one or two home runs. And all the other guys, too, on the team.
Who's everybody, Eddie? Who's everybody? Everybody said the White Sox get to the World Series in the La Russa?
Well, I know I did.
Everybody?
I did. 100%. I'll fall on my sword.
Is Cap everybody, Eddie? Is Cap everybody?
And then the experts said that them players that we signed and gave contracts to, you know, the so-called experts, these guys are great players. They're going to do this, do that. And they did nothing of it. Nothing of the sort. You know, it's just like these guys picking NFL quarterbacks in the draft. Oh, this guy's good, this guy's good. And then they'll end up being traded for second-round picks fourth-round picks. Or sixth, whatever they got for Justin Fields.
Are you okay? Are you okay, Eddie? If Michael wants to know, are you okay?
Yeah. I'm a huge White Sox fan, and it makes me mad about that thing. Reinsdorf paid them, and they should have did their jobs, and they failed us. The players did. That's because they're the ones that are hitting the ball. They're just the ones that are catching the ball. And them are the ones that failed us, fans of the Chicago White Sox.
Eddie, thanks, man. I was surprised, to be honest, in his defense, that Tim Anderson had such a bad year. I know he had some things going on in his life, but usually you focus when you get to the ballpark.
But that's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
He was horrible.
Everybody was different. Everybody's built differently.
Yeah. I just was surprised he was that bad.
A hit king that had an issue with his personal life, and it affected him on the field. It did.
Yeah. Look, Aloy gets hurt. It is what it is, man. He breaks down. Same with Moncada. Luis Robert's a great player. But, man, to underachieve to the level they did, I found stunning.
That is on the players, Eddie's right, but it's also on Rick and Kenny.
Yeah, they put a bad lineup together.
That mix just did not work.
Did not work.
Absolutely not. Look, gross underachievement by that group. Should have been a perennial playoff team. It was not. La Russa actually straightened it out some the first year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad. It wasn't a bad ball club.
They won 93 games.
Right.
People forget that.
And then what? See?
Then he got sick. He was out. The team was horrible. And last year they were worse.
Yeah. By the way, all the best to Tommy Williams and his family. We saw this yesterday, Cap, that Tommy Williams, a former sports talk show host here at ESPN 1000, he worked with Les Grobstein at ESPN 1000 after his time at SCR, passed away. We saw this yesterday, so all the best to Tommy and his family.
Yeah, I used to hear him at either station, and I saw on Twitter, I'm like, what? Tommy Williams died. Wow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how old he was, but I spent many times listening to him. So, mm-hmm. Our condolences to his family.
The Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day right around the corner, right here on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Now time for the Cap and J-Hood Cut of the Day.
Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. How about celebrating opening day? If you're not going to the ballpark, go get a burger, cold beer, sit there and watch the ball game at the bar. That's right. Chicago Cut Steakhouse. LaSalle, north side of the Chicago River. Jay Moore.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
But when you got promoted to hot dogs and then beer, beer was... That was the best.
When you got the big promotion to slinging sausage around the field.
You get there early and it was either be Vince Pescia or the late John Studnicka at White Sox.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
What did he say?
What?
He was the union steward.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny S., you'd go up there, you'd get there early.
Good union workers.
Yeah. And you'd get there early and you'd be like, can I please have beer? Nope. Soda pop.
Oh, man.
Oh, really?
Cap, what was his name? John who?
Studnicka.
The brother.
No. S-T-U-D-N-I-C-K-A. Union steward till he died on the job. He died on the job. And then Vince Pescia over at Wrigley. He might still be there for all I know. Dude, I was a good union man.
I'm not so. He might have been.
The brother.
Yeah, very, very well could be.
No, he was not.
He wasn't?
No.
Oh, that's an upset.
And that's all, folks.
His nickname, My. And that's
boy.
The Cap and J-Hood cut of the day. Brought to you by, come on.
Come on, Chicago Cap. Cut Steakhouse.
Come on.
LaSalle, north side of Chicago River.
You are my.
That's very well. Good. Could have been. Today, Cap, is, how's your bet going, by the way?
I'm not betting here. I'm looking up the players, so I'm informed for the game when we have our advertising partners there that actually Tarek Skubal, I was pronouncing his first name wrong, Tarek Skubal is pretty good against the White Sox for his career, but the ERA a bit bloated. They might be able to get them. ERA's almost five career.
And you're preparing
eight starts.
You're preparing it for the partners, you said.
Correct.
I see. Today is National Something.
Then I'm going to learn how to play the bass.
Uh-huh. It's too late now. Horses out the barn, literally. National Something on a Stick Day. What do you like most on a stick?
Most thing on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
There's
corn or fruit or marshmallows.
Corn on a stick? No, I'll go corn dogs.
Corn dog. Yeah.
I haven't had one in a long time. Wait a minute. March 28th, National Black Forest Cake Day.
Yeah.
That's my favorite dessert in the world.
Mm-hmm. I was getting there.
Oh, that's my birthday cake every year.
We thank you for listening and calling in and being part of the program here on Cap and Jay Hood. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. Enjoy opening day, Cubs fans and Sox fans. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 7. So long, everybody.
Happy opening day. Take that.
From Chicago.